Coming up now is the space show. Southern FM 88.3. Welcome to the space show, presented by members of the Space Association of Australia. Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie. And on this evening's the space show, we had intended to have it as an entirely musical one. It has been a tradition for many years that the final show of the year be a musical exploration of space. But then, in the past week, we have been saddened by the news of the death of astronomer Vera Rubin and actress Carrie Fisher. So, before we get to the music, we must pay tribute to these two remarkable women. Vera Rubin and her work was examined in detail on the space show on 2003, April the 2nd. She was the subject of the first episode of the TV series The Astronomers. She was born in 1928 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and died on December the 25th in Princeton, New Jersey. That's 25th of this year. She pioneered work on galaxy rotation rates and in the process uncovered the discrepancy between the predicted angular motion and the observed motion. This led to the postulation of the existence of dark matter. Now, dark matter is now thought to comprise 27% of the mass and energy of the universe. Vera did not propose dark matter. That had been done by Jacobs, Capturin, Jan Oort and Fritz Zwicky in the 1920s and 1930s. Now, Rubin did her seminal work in the 1960s and 70s. American rap is not my favourite form of communication, especially since much of it is full of swearing. However, sometimes rappers are very effective communicators. This is the case with the work of Mike Wilson. In 2013, he told the story of Vera Rubin and the discovery of dark matter. And I can assure you that this, the dark matter rap, is expletive-free.
No Skills Entertainment. Space stuff. Dark matter.
Look up in the sky, there's the moon you see. There's some stars, there goes Mars, Pluto, RIP. Those are just a few of the things in our galaxy. All of it's held together by tons of gravity. But what if gravity wasn't strong enough? Everything in the universe is held by some other stuff. Some other stuff you cannot see with the naked eye. Some other stuff that doesn't shine when it's hit with light. It seems that we have ourselves another mystery. So let's travel back in time to 1933. Fritz Zwicky was observing Nakoma clusters, and this would lead to an astronomy adjuster. He was measuring those galaxies' mass, and based on the observed mass, they were moving way too fast. There had to be something else to cause such speeds. Apparently, we had missing matter missing from the galaxy.
What if I said there's something funky with the universe? For all the time that human beings roamed the planet Earth, there was something we couldn't feel and couldn't see. Oblivious to dark matter in our galaxy. What if I said there's something funky with the universe? For all the time that human beings roamed the planet Earth, there was something we couldn't feel and couldn't see. Oblivious to dark matter in our galaxy.
The center of our solar system is the sun. The closer that you get to it, the stronger gravity becomes. Close planets revolve fast, far planets slow. With the gravity to distance to speed ratio. So if the coma clusters are moving too rapidly, maybe something invisible added to its gravity. Decades later, based on further observations, dark matter is a name of the situation.
Well, what is it?
No one knows for sure. An accurate description remains unsecured. Search for answers activated. Simple yet complicated. Constantly investigated. Mysteries generated. Matter or a particle. Guesses hypothetical. Research problematical. And others very skeptical. But for now, that's just how the story goes. It's a known unknown. Nothing we know but just don't know.
What if I said there's something funky with the universe? For all the time that human beings roamed the planet Earth, there was something we couldn't feel and couldn't see. Oblivious to dark matter in our galaxy. What if I said there's something funky with the universe? For all the time that human beings roamed the planet Earth, there was something we couldn't feel and couldn't see. Oblivious of dark matter in our galaxy.
There's a lot of concern with the dark matter case, as it may be 80% of the stuff in space.
That's a lot.
Holding the stars together like some cosmic pace. Scientists are in a rush to proof.
Hashtag
space race. Let's talk about some of the theories that have generated dark matter. Maybe how our universe originated.
Whoa.
Following the Big Bang, the universe formed after, and it may have come together with the help of dark matter. String theory mentions dimensional planes.
Yay.
Stacked on top of each other like some video games. There's universes above us, but we cannot see them. Dark matter may be the gravity that's in between them.
Yeah.
So if you're on a quest for the dark matter reward, you'll have to explore 11 dimensions or even more. Now I understand if that is hard to believe. The universe is like bread and dark matter is the cheese.
What if I said there's something funky with the universe? For all the time that human beings roamed the planet Earth, there was something we couldn't feel and couldn't see. Oblivious of dark matter in our galaxy. What if I said there's something funky with the universe? For all the time that human beings roamed the planet Earth, there was something we couldn't feel and couldn't see. Oblivious of dark matter in our galaxy. What if I said there's something funky with the universe? For all the time that human beings roamed the planet Earth, there was something we couldn't feel and couldn't see. Or maybe we just don't understand gravity.
Maybe you're right about that.
The European Space Agency is keen to solve this mystery of what is dark matter, and they are building a satellite called Euclid. And it's going to map the dark matter and the evolution of the universe. They're getting it ready now. So this item, courtesy of the European Space Agency.
At the beginning of the last century, Albert Einstein was the first to hypothesize that empty space in the universe was not really empty. 100 years later, the nature of that empty space is still unknown. But thanks to the results of the Planck Space Observatory mission, scientists have concurred on the existence of a dark matter. They calculate that ordinary visible matter accounts for about 5% of our universe. The rest is dark matter and a repulsive force called dark energy, which is accelerating the universe's expansion. Although we don't know much about both dark matter and dark energy, this could change quite soon. ESA is now building a new space telescope called Euclid, which will further look at the hidden side of the universe.
I'm working on Euclid. That is a mission to map the universe. And for that, we built a highly precise telescope in which we can map dark matter structures as well as derive the properties of the dark energy.
Euclid will use a 1.2-meter diameter telescope to track the evolution of the universe's structure over three-quarters of its history. It will do so by taking hundreds of thousands of sharp images.
When we look at the sky and take a picture, we stop everything. We stop the reaction wheels, and the only way to correct for possible drifts of the satellite is doing it with cold gas, because cold gas gives no disturbances to the image, the sharp image we want to achieve.
While Euclid will look at the vastness of the universe, what will revolutionize our understanding is to couple Euclid's results with the study of the minuscule world deep within atoms. In Geneva, the CERN is about to restart the world's foremost particle accelerator, the LHC, the Large Hadron Collider. 3 years ago, it spotted the Higgs boson.
We hope that as soon as the machine switch on, we might have discovery even in the first days, if not in the first weeks.
The LHC has been upgraded, is more powerful, and is going to work at full power for the first time. It's hoped that it will open the door for the identification of dark matter.
We have many questions to answer, and we are pretty sure that the LHC can answer some of them. We hope that it could answer all of them. It is not clear.
Euclid and LHC's new missions are optimized to understand why the universe is expanding at an accelerating rate, rather than slowing down due to the gravitational attraction of all the matter in it.
The interesting thing is we get more and more dark energy. Why? Because our universe is expanding. And with our expanding universe, we get more dark energy in our universe. Now, the ordinary matter, so dark matter and normal matter, is not expanding, it's diluting. So the fraction of dark energy compared to normal matter is increasing in time. When the universe expands more and more, we get more volume of our universe, we get more space, and we get more dark energy.
Scientists in space or on the ground are ready to step into the unknown. An unknown that is crucial to understanding the future of the universe.
In the moment, we'll be looking at one of the achievements of actress Carrie Fisher. On the Space Show, we are looking at, before we have some music coming up, we're looking at the lives of Vera Rubin and Carrie Fisher. And to help us into that, we've got a poem here about the universe and death. It's written by Jane Crowley. It's called Heavenly Bodies, and it's read for us by Ciro Faenza.
Heavenly Bodies. I walked out to find the universe shredded upon the lawn. Death had come to visit while I slept and torn limb from tiny wing all of creation, to leave tiny sparkling galaxies spiraling between speedwell, knotgrass, and moss. I watched constellations trickled into dust, set my shoulders, picked tiny bones from the ground, and began again.
This is the Space Show with Andrew Rennie. American actress Carrie Fisher jumped into public consciousness in 1977 when she played Leia Organa in George Lucas's movie Star Wars. Normally in fairy tales, the princess plays a passive role in her rescue. But this princess is shown to be a thief and a liar. She also has a sense of humour, makes sarcastic comments, and can suppress anger and emotion when in dire circumstances. She is also smart and can play on other people's motivations to be what she wants. Here, on the Space Show, is the story of Princess Leia Organa as told in the original 1977 Star Wars radio play. We begin, for those who are less than 30 years old, with what the story is about and how the princess was captured.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, a great adventure took place. It is a period of civil war. Rebel spaceships, striking from a hidden base, have won their first victory against the evil Galactic Empire. During the battle, rebel spies manage to steal secret plans to the Empire's ultimate weapon, the Death Star, an armored space station with enough power to destroy an entire planet. Pursued by the Empire's sinister agents, Princess Leia races home aboard her starship. Custodian of the stolen plans that can save her people and restore freedom to the galaxy. But Princess Leia's cruiser is no match for the warship, which swiftly overtakes her vessel. In moments, Imperial stormtroopers invade the rebel craft with a blaze of laser weapons.
Having learned that Leia is a thief, we next find that she's a liar.
Princess Leia is discovered by Vader's stormtroopers.
There's one. Set for stun. She'll be all right. Inform Lord Vader we have a prisoner.
Princess Leia is taken before Darth Vader for questioning.
Darth Vader, only you could be so bold.
The Imperial Senate will not sit still for this.
When they hear you've attacked a diplomatic...
Don't act so surprised, Your Highness. You weren't on any mercy mission this time. Several transmissions were beamed to the ship by rebel spies. I want to know what happened to the plans they sent you.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a member of the Imperial Senate on a diplomatic mission to Alderaan.
You are part of a rebel alliance and a traitor. Take her away!
Lord Vader, the battle station plans are not aboard this ship, and no transmissions were made. An escape pod was jettisoned during the fighting, but no life forms were aboard.
She must have hidden the plans in the escape pod.
Of course, you can't have a fairy tale rescue of a distressed princess if the handsome rescuer doesn't know she needs help. A handkerchief dropped over the castle wall won't cut it for George Lucas. Instead, he uses the newly invented hologram, inserted into a robotic droid.
Luke takes the two robots into the homestead's garage for repairs.
Oh, well, my little friend, got something jammed in here real good. Were you on a Star Cruiser?
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
What's this?
A three-dimensional likeness of Princess Leia appears in mid-air, projected by R2-D2.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Who is she? She's beautiful.
I'm afraid I'm not quite sure,
help
sir.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
He says that he is the property of Obi-Wan Kenobi, a resident of these parts, and it's a private message for him.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. I wonder if he means old Ben Kenobi.
I beg your pardon, sir, but do you know what he's talking about?
Well, I don't know anyone named Obi-Wan, but old Ben lives out beyond the Dune Sea. He's kind of a strange old hermit.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I know who she is. Wait a minute, where'd she go? Bring her back. Play back the entire message.
What message? The one you've just been playing. The one you're carrying inside your rusty innards.
Oh, dear. The handkerchief fell into the castle moat, and the ink has smeared, making the message unreadable. But never fear, there is someone who can dry the hanky and read the smeared message.
Now let's see if we can't figure out what you are, my little friend, and where you come from.
I saw part of the message.
I seem to have found it.
The image of Princess Leia again appears, projected into space.
General Kenobi, years ago you served my father in the Clone Wars. Now he begs you to help him in his struggle against the Empire. I regret that I am unable to present my father's request to you in person, but my ship has fallen under attack, and I'm afraid my mission to bring you to Alderaan has failed. I have placed information vital to the survival of the Rebellion into the memory systems of this R2 unit. My father will know how to retrieve it. You must see this droid safely delivered to him on Alderaan. This is our most desperate hour. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
Before help can arrive, Leia is double-crossed by her evil captor.
Princess Leia, before your execution, I would like you to be my guest at a ceremony that will make this battle station operational. Since you are reluctant to provide us with the location of the rebel base, I have chosen to test this station's destructive power on your home planet of Alderaan.
No! Alderaan is peaceful. We have no weapons. You can't.
You will prefer another target, a military target? Then name the system. I grow tired of asking this, so it'll be the last time. Where is the rebel base?
Dantooine. They're on Dantooine.
There. You see, Lord Vader, she can be reasonable. Continue with the operation. You may fire when ready.
What?
You're far too trust. Dantooine is too remote to make an effective demonstration, but don't worry. We will deal with your rebel friends soon enough.
No.
Commence primary ignition.
The awesome power of the battle station's lasers instantly reduces the planet of Alderaan to pulverized space dust.
Next, Leia's lie is discovered.
Our scout ships have reached Dantooine. They found the remains of a rebel base, but they estimate that it has been deserted for some time.
She lied. She lied to us.
I told you she would never consciously betray the rebellion.
Terminate her immediately.
And we learn that the rescuers have monetary and other reasons for rescuing the princess. Leia is revealed to have a sense of humor.
R2 discovers a staggering piece of information. Princess Leia is being held in the Death Star's detention block. And 3PO's interpretation ends on a chilling note.
I'm afraid she's scheduled to be terminated.
Oh, no.
Better her than me.
She's rich.
Rich.
Rich, powerful. Listen, if you were to rescue her, the reward would be...
What?
Well, more wealth than you can imagine.
I don't know. I can imagine quite a bit.
You'll get it. And better.
But Luke ignores the warning and continues to Leia's cell. There, the sleeping princess stirs and faces Luke.
Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper?
Huh? Oh, the uniform. I'm Luke Skywalker. I'm here to rescue you.
You're who?
I'm here to rescue you. I've got your R2 unit. I'm here with Ben Kenobi.
Ben Kenobi? Where is he?
Come on.
Princess Leia, unlike the princesses of my childhood, can also be very sarcastic.
In another part of the battle station, Solo, Luke, and Princess Leia find themselves trapped.
Can't get out that way.
Looks like you managed to cut up our only escape route.
Maybe you'd like it back in your cell, Your Highness. I can't hold off forever. Now what?
This is some rescue. When you came in here, didn't you have a plan for getting out?
He's the brain, sweetheart.
Well, I didn't...
What the hell are you doing?
Somebody has to save our skins.
The princess blasts a hole in the metal bucket.
Into the garbage chute, flyboy.
Leia is smart enough to know that winning one battle is not the same as winning the war. She may have escaped, but she and her cause are still in danger.
Not a bad bit of rescuing, huh? You know, sometimes I amaze even myself.
That doesn't sound too hard. They let us go. It's the only explanation for the ease of our escape.
Easy? You call that easy?
They're tracking us.
Not this ship, sister.
At least the information in R2 is still intact.
What's so important? What's he carrying?
The technical readouts at that battle station. I only hope that when the data's analyzed, a weakness can be found. It's not over yet.
If you've been brought up to lead a galactic empire, you cannot allow yourself to get overly emotional about something as trivial as your home planet being blasted to smithereens.
You're safe. When we heard about Alderaan, we feared the worst.
We have no time for Asara's commander. You must use the information in this R2 unit to help plan the attack. It's our only hope.
Having wrecked her revenge by having her rescuers blow up the moon-sized Death Star and killing its tens of thousands of inhabitants, Leia retires to her temple and welcomes the three rescuers.
Later, in the main temple of the huge ruins, hundreds of troops line up. Banners are flying. And at the far end stands a vision in white, Princess Leia. Luke and the others march up the long aisle to stand before the smiling princess. From one side of the temple waddles R2-D2, fully repaired. He stands beside 3PO and a confused Chewbacca. Leia rises and places a gold medallion around Hans's neck, then does the same for Luke. They all turn to face the assembled troops, who bow reverently before them. It is a day to be long remembered, a day of hope for peace and justice throughout the galaxy.
Remember, the Force will be with you, always.
The fairy tale does not end with the princess getting married and living happily ever after. Why not? Well, because George Lucas is busy writing more stories for Carrie Fisher to act in. Now, in the 1970s, Dickie Goodman was a popular comedian, and in 1977, he wrote and enacted this comedic story making fun of the Star Wars movie. This is called Star Wars, as in W-A-R-Z. So here we go, Dickie Goodman, Star Wars.
We're here on a spaceship where Darth Vader has just kidnapped Princess Leia. Hey, Vader, what do you want to do with the princess?
Just want to fool around.
Here's C-3PO. 3PO, Darth Vader is coming this way. What are you going to do?
Run,
3PO! 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 There's little R2-D2. R2, what have you got to say? We're here on the planet Tatooine, where the two robots have just landed. 3PO, how did you get here?
I blew out my flip-flop.
R2, what have you got to say?
Ooh-hoo-hoo-wee.
There's Luke and Ben Kenobi. And listen, the Force.
I'm in.
We're taking off aboard the spaceship of Han Solo. Chewie, if you could talk, what would you say?
You and me ain't no movie star.
We've landed on the Death Star. Luke has rescued the princess. He's whispering something in her ear.
I'm your handyman.
R2, what have you got to say? They're taking off for the rebel base, which the evil Governor Tarkin is about to destroy. Governor Tarkin, why do you enjoy blowing up planets? But here come the rebel spaceships! Luke is shouting something!
Looks like we made it!
Hey, R2, what have you got to say?
Ooh-hoo-hoo-wee.
Darth Vader's spaceships are attacking the rebels! But listen, the Force!
I'm in.
Luke has gotten through! He's going to bomb the Death Star! Wait, Luke, I'm still down here! Help!
Dickie Goodman with one of the break-in styles that was popular in the 1950s. But, yes, as you can hear, they survived into the 1970s as well. Another bit of a fun thing on the Princess Leia story was a thing by a group called Connect. And this is the Hologram Girl Dance Off. And to better enjoy this song, don't think of the Spice Girls. Put into your mind Princess Leia and some handmaidens dancing in very skimpy bikinis in an off-world bar. You know the sort of bar I mean, the one you saw in Star Wars. And these dancers are real. They're not holograms.
Dogging ships, and you didn't think that I would hear it. People hear you bragging like that. Get the engine bindings fired up. So I'm ready to attack. Gonna lead the pack. Gonna make a touchdown. Gonna take you out. That's right. Put your blasters down. Get the engine bindings fired up. A few times I've been around this track, and like that, I'm gone and I'm lightning fast. 'Cause I ain't no hologram girl. I ain't no hologram. spaceship. The track, no dirty tricks, no hidden attack. Both of us wanna be the winner, but there can only be one. So I'm gonna fly, gonna give it my all, gonna make you fall, you chiska slimo. That's right, I'm the last one standing, another one bites the dust. A few times I've been around this track, and like that, I'm on.
Yes, Princess Leia doing a go-go act there. Remember the Go-Go Girls? Yes. Well, that's what that was.